public hearing to order. First of all, I would like to thank everyone for being here this evening. This is our eighth public hearing with regards to a public safety levy. If I could ask a favor of everyone, if they have a cell phone, if they could please put it on mute, please. There is a sign-up sheet over at the table if you'd like to have public testimony this evening. Please fill it out. Matt, is it over there?
Yes, it's here.
We will first have introductions. I'll start at the left, and we'll move our way to our my right.
Artie Silverman, Director of Juvenile Department and Adult Corrections.
Greg Hanson, Polk County Administrative Officer.
Craig Pope, Commissioner.
I'm Polk County Commissioner Mike Ainsworth.
Jennifer Wheeler, Commissioner.
Bob Wolf, Polk County Sheriff.
Darren Felton, Polk County District Attorney.
To start things off, I will have our County Administrator, Mr. Greg Hanson, talk about the reason why we're here and what has worked its way up to it. So, Greg, go ahead.
Thank you, Commissioner. We're here, as Commissioner Ainsworth said. This is our eighth public hearing. It's involving a public hearing involving public safety or a local option tax. Back in November of 2014, I made a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners to place on the ballot for the May 2015 election a local option tax. That option tax would be 45 cents per thousand and for a duration of 5 years. And we are here to discuss the merits of that recommendation and whether you think it's a good idea or a bad idea to put a local option tax on the ballot. Those are the inputs that the Board of Commissioners are seeking in this hearing. We will try to answer any questions you may or may not have on the subject, and that's why we have a panel up here. We got to this situation basically because since 2008, we had a public safety system which consists of adult community corrections, juvenile, district attorney and prosecution and support enforcement, and a sheriff's department that consists of a jail, patrol, emergency management, dog control, marine patrol, and many other functions which he can go into more detail on. But that's what consists of our public safety system. In 2008, we had 112 people in our criminal justice system. Today, we have 78. So we've had a reduction of 34 FTE in the public safety departments, and which is approximately 33% of our workforce in there. As a result, we do not have adequate funds to meet the needs of our public safety system. We no longer are able to provide 24-hour patrol. We're unable to prosecute fully in our DA's office. We have a lack of detention beds in our juvenile department. And those are things that, at least in my opinion, are unacceptable to provide. So we need an infusion of money to make that happen. And unfortunately, with how the property tax system is set up in the state of Oregon, we are limited with our options to increase our revenues. And one of those, and primarily the only option that we have, is a local option tax, and that is the recommendation on the board. This tax will provide enough funding to restore 22 positions, not 34 that we lost. So it isn't the answer to all answers for our public safety system, but it allows us to maintain basic services, provide 24-hour patrol, provide adequate security in the courthouse and courtrooms, provide adequate juvenile detention beds for our youth that offend, and those offenders tend to be offenders that have committed felony type crimes, not just curfew violations or that. So that's why we're here today, and lack of revenue is the main culprit of that, and primary main culprit of that is the lack of O&C timber revenue. At the peak, Polk County used to receive about $2.3 million in O&C revenue. This year, we have received none. Don't anticipate getting any. There's small potential that we will, but most likely not. And we will probably have to live forward with that revenue stream of $0 in secure rural schools funds. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Commissioner Ainsworth and the sheriff.
Thank you, Greg. Then we'll hear a little bit from Sheriff Paul Wolf.
Sheriff, thank you. I'm going to stand because of the podium thing that we have here. Good evening, and thank you for coming. I've been your sheriff since 1999. I'm the 36th sheriff of Polk County, and I'm proud to say that I've served as the second longest serving sheriff in Polk County's history. I've been around for a few years, and wanted to spend a little bit of time talking to you about the sheriff's office and how it's funded through the general fund and what our functions are. A lot of people that live particularly in the cities seem to think, well, why do we need sheriff's patrol? Well, we do a lot of things inside the cities, and we also serve as a backup to the cities. And even for you folks here in West Salem, even the Salem Police Department, at times, because they have a lot of folks, at times they still call us for backup. So we provide backup assistance to the folks here in West Salem as far as the patrol is concerned. Our patrol division and the jail division both come out of the general fund. The general fund, the sheriff's office, because of the staffing that I have in the jail and patrol, is one of the main reasons we take up the biggest share of the general fund. That's the only place that the ONC timber money was able to go to that helped fund the sheriff's office before this loss. Within the patrol division, I also am responsible for a mandated function of search and rescue. Only the sheriff can provide search and rescue operations in the rural parts of the county. That's mandated by law. State police cannot do that, and neither can municipal police. They can come assist us, but they're not charged with the responsibility of doing it. I'm also charged by law with the responsibility of serving civil process. That's another function that the patrol deputies do. And the civil process is where we are directed by Oregon law to serve all court-ordered papers that come down from the court. Such things like if you're a property owner and you have rentals and you need to evict somebody from your property, or someone's moved on to your property and you need to evict them. That comes through the courts in a process called an FED, forced eviction of a dwelling, and only the sheriff can serve those papers, not city police, not state police. The other things that we're responsible for are child custody issues. If the court orders a child to be taken into custody or review by the court, it's the sheriff that has to go out and take care of that. The restraining orders, domestic violence situations, only the sheriff can serve restraining orders in Polk County. We can be assisted by the cities, we can be assisted by state police, but it's the authority of the sheriff by ORS, and it's a function that we have to do. The jail division, of course, is underneath the sheriff's office, and all of the municipalities in Polk County, every one of them, all use the Polk County Jail. So as a resident of West Salem, and you're paying your city taxes for your city police officer, you also have to pay taxes for the operation of the Polk County Jail. The jail, because of these reductions that we've had to go through, has been cut down so far that I am now spending a great deal of your tax money and overtime trying to keep the jail doors open and trying to keep the inmates that we're charged with the responsibility of their care, custody, and control. We're trying to keep them safe and make sure that everything that happens inside the jail is a safe environment for them. That overtime, I typically budget that at $60,000 a year. As of December 31st, I've already spent $79,000 of your tax dollars in overtime. I can't continue at that rate because what that means is I've got to find someplace else in my budget to get that money, which will likely come from the patrol division, but I have to shift that money over and help cover that cost from the jail. Your jail in this county is one of the most effective and efficient operated jails, even though I'm spending a lot of overtime in the state. We get inspected every couple of years by a group of inspectors to come around, and your Polk County Jail, you folks pass a bond to build has consistently passed with high marks. And when the inspectors come in and look at that jail, they are just astonished at how clean it is and how quiet it is, because we've maintained that we're going to run an effective and efficient jail. The things that have happened to us over the last couple of years, since 2008, or at 2008, we used to have a forestry deputy, we had a canine officer, we had deputies assigned to the interagency drug and narcotics team. We participated in joint operations through grants for DUI enforcement and seatbelt enforcement. I also had members that were part of a special tactical response team. I had people that were assigned as forensic computer investigators. I had people that were assigned for assisting on fatal traffic crashes as a technical assistant for reconstruction purposes. We were involved in dump stopper programs to clean up dump sites that occur out in the rural part of the county, particularly in our forested areas. And we were heavily engaged in National Night Out and Neighborhood Watch programs. Today, right now today, every one of those things that I just told you about are gone. I do not have the resources to be able to continue to do any of those programs. I'm down to 10 hours a day, and that's just totally unacceptable to me. I don't think you elected me to do it that way, but I am forced to do it that way due to funding. And the funding issue is really been as a result of, as Mr. Hansen said, the loss of these timber receipts. We are really challenged every day, and particularly our, the dispatch center that you also pay for that is operated out of Salem. When calls come in to 911 after 10 o'clock at night, the dispatchers or call takers is actually what they're called. They are telling people, I'm sorry, but if you live in Polk County, there are no deputies available. They get verbally abused every day when they have to tell people that. People say, I don't care what the problem is, you get a deputy here right now, and they swear at them. We listen to some of the tapes because we have to do follow-ups, and we'll listen to those types of tapes. You know, and so this is the stuff that the call takers have to go through every day, 7 days a week. Because since we got cut back to 10 hours of patrol out of necessity, not because we wanted to do it, we have had at least over 1,600 calls that have come into the 911 center when the call takers have to say, I'm sorry, but there's nobody available to respond to the call. As I mentioned when I started out, I've been your sheriff since 1999, which means that every year I go in front of the budget committee, which is comprised of your three commissioners and three lay people that are assigned. And every year, and particularly since 2008 when we've had to start making those cuts, the budget committee has struggled to make sure that they can try to pull the funding away from the other general fund divisions that are in there, which is the clerk's office and community development and the treasurer's office, the DA's office, juvenile. They've tried to make sure that I am the one that gets the most of what is still left. That is still true today. There is no pot of money that we're hiding. We don't have a can buried under the courthouse that we're going to be able to dig out, open up, and say, oh, gee, everything's better today. There is no money. When that timber revenue went away, the reason that our tax rate is at 171 per thousand assessed value is because of the timber money that we've used for so many years, and now that it's gone, the only way, ladies and gentlemen, to fix this problem is to move forward with a tax levy. I pay taxes just like the rest of you do in this room. I don't want to pay more taxes, but I'm telling you, you do not get a service unless you pay for it. So I just want you to know how much I appreciate that you're taking time out of your evening to come here and provide some input for the Board of Commissioners so they can make a decision on what to do. But without funding, you're going to only see what you have today, and I can't guarantee the success of that, and I think people's lives are going to be put in danger the longer this goes. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Sheriff. Matt, if you give me the list, we will start with public testimony. I would ask when you come up, when I call your name, if you would repeat your name and your address, please, for the record. So, let's see, we'll start off with James Roden. Is that correct?
Right, they forced me to put my name first. Everybody said, oh, go first.
Thank you for being here, James.
Not a problem. I used to attend meetings with the previous regime out there, dodging probes and all. But there's a little bit far to go, mostly because, let me tell you, first of all, I'm a former commissioner in another state allocating water to people. So I understand what it's like to be on the other side of that desk. And I hate this thing. I wonder if anybody can see anything. And so I say I feel your pain. However, I got to tell you why I'm going to oppose this tax increase. Why I'm going to urge others to do that. We're talking politics here. From my point of view, actually my neighbor's point of view, because I do see a lot of the rest of this, I got a commission and the sheriff's department in West Salem pretty much irrelevant to us. And in fact, the sheriff's department is pretty much detrimental to the West Salem neighborhood. I'll give you a couple of examples. As far as the county commission, the city of Salem is polluting the Willamette River with storm runoff through West Salem into county property and then into the river. And I've been trying for, over 12 years of being a watershed steward, and I could never get a council member to listen to me. We have a public health safety hazard there because of the buildup of water behind Claremont, with mosquitoes and sewage from the old sewage system up in the hill around. And I doubt if anybody on this commission even understands it or knows about that could tell me what creek is doing that. It's the sixth largest creek in the city of Salem. It happens to be one of the main drainages in West Salem. It's not Gibson, it's not Glen Creek. It's Turns Brook. Many of you know that. And the reason that's bad politics. Because all people along Turns Brook are going to look at the county commission and what they say and say, look, there's a problem with primary. We have erosion, we have sewage, we have runoff that the county commission can take part in handling, but they're not interested. At Christmas time, when you were here before Christmas time and before the election, and told us how you hated to come to Salem, only came here to buy your wife a dress at Christmas time, and if the bridge could be built north of Salem, you'd love that because you'd never have to go to Salem. Commissioner Ainsworth, I live in Salem. That's bad for something. Sheriff, I've known the sheriff here for a long time. We met way back when Sue Lance campaigned and the other campaigned back there. And I was a supporter of public safety. I hate it. Going out to Nation and Clark and finding people shooting guns to call the sheriff. The sheriff says, I'm sorry, I can't do anything. We're a speeding trucker on meth down 22. I'm sorry, the dispatcher says, I'm sorry, I can't send anybody. I'm really sorry. Or 911, which, by the way, those are 911 calls in rural areas, not in West Salem. When I call 911 in Salem, I get the police department that I pay taxes for. So once again, it's irrelevant. Just a few weeks ago, I went to College Park. Is there more College Park?
Brush
I'm not really on the spot.
Just College Park?
No, College Park. It's above the old drive. Small 7-acre park up there. I've been going there for about 15 years. I train for people in wheelchairs. And a friend of mine who lives with her lady on the back of the park acclimates dogs. She foster cares dogs at a humane society. She gets them used to other dogs so they can be adopted. She uses my poodles for that reason, because, you know, poodles negotiate, they don't fight. And we teach them how to get along with other dogs. The other day while I was in the park, we were chased down by a thug. We were at the park, we were working the dogs, we've been doing this for over 12 years, we cleaned that park, we maintained the path over there sometimes, cleaned up everybody else's dog mess. A sheriff's deputy pulls up in the street up above the park, it's got a high edge on it, on the street on the top, squeals to a stop, blocks the intersection, jumps out of the vehicle with a catch stick in one hand and a citation book in the other hand and starts down that grass slope. He was going to bust us and have the dogs off the leash, and I know why. But when he hit that slope, his flat feet went out from under him and he skidded down that slope, and now he's mad. So I call her Helen, my friend, go home, get out of here, because that's a dog tester, he's going to bust us. You can tell, he's angry. He's got stuff all over the ground. He dressed like he's going to Ferguson. He tells us about our dog off the leash and park that we own. I told my dogs, because they're trained, girls just gather and we take off. We lost the tennis balls. But we cut back through the swale and across Forest Green's property, and we go across the Yola deer trail in the back of the property. And I sat on my balcony for 40 minutes, and I watched that man looking for me up and down the middle of the drive. Helen got tickets. She doesn't foster dogs anymore, and she doesn't go to that park. That's bad policy. The woman that called you, the kids in the neighborhood call crazy lady. It's unkind, but Doris is a problem. And I'll tell you what, something about Doris, other than stealing the kids' bikes and having the Salem Police Department come out and have to recover them, is that she did not register to vote. I'm registered to vote. Helen's registered to vote. Helen's husband's registered to vote. And I've told this story at least 50 times. That's bad politics. And that makes me angry because you people are supposed to be helping her. You people are here as a board member and a sheriff. And I've got to watch myself here because we've had people in the West Salem Neighborhood Association, out of Polk County Soil Conservation District, prosecuted for hyperbole by the district attorney's office, former district attorney. That's bad politics. Not only that, no just judicial decisions. Send them up the avenue of town muster. I've seen a lot of those things in Polk County. I used to spend a lot of time out there. I've been hassled by deputies for parking on public road. Because a farmer down the street called the deputy who lived down the street back out and ran us off. He said, I'll be the one to tell you that you can do enough. Now, I really want to know why you would think that someone like me, and I'm not spoken, but everybody in West Salem has run into these problems, either being ignored by the county commission, being ignored by the sheriff's department, or hassled actively by the district attorney's office. Why do you think that you can get these four precincts to give you support in this next election when it looks like you don't have any priorities when it comes to West Salem?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lisa Mitchell.
Hope you don't mind, I'm going to face the audience because my message is going for the taxpayers. So pardon my back. I'm really nervous about speaking in front of a group, so I've written my statement down, so pardon me for moving. Good evening. I'll give you a little background on myself. My name is Lisa, and I'm a longtime resident of Polk County. Having moved from West Salem 8 years ago to a rural Polk County area between Amity and Dallas. I believe I'm in a unique position to speak on this public safety crisis. I can address it from two different perspectives. You see, I am a victim of domestic violence, and I'm also a first responder in Polk County. This past July, there was an incident at my residence. If any piece of the series of events that transpired that night were altered, I may not be here tonight. I would like you to put yourself in my position just for a few moments. At possibly the worst time in someone's life, you dial 911 to hear, there's no one we can send. How absolutely terrifying that can be. Now imagine that you're alone. Or worse yet, in my case, I had a child with me, or a loved one with yourself. There's no one we can send. Try and imagine that for a moment. Hearing your child say to 911, we just want someone to help us. I believe that the incident at my residence, had there been a deputy to answer those first calls to 911, the situation would not have escalated and resulted in a structure fire that destroyed my home. So I was victimized that night by two events. The loss and emotional cost to my family is immeasurable. I fervently pray and hope this never happens to anyone else in our county. But unfortunately, with the situation as it stands now, it will, and it has, with the result of the loss of a life recently. Secondly, as a first responder, I'm an active firefighter, EMS, six-year member of a local volunteer fire department. We respond to fire, medical, and motor vehicle accidents 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I can speak firsthand of the critical importance of a quick, timely response to any emergent situation for the likelihood of a more positive outcome for a patient or a citizen. The clock never moves slower when we are put in a holding pattern, waiting for law enforcement to provide a secure scene. All public safety personnel are trained for quick response. Having to sit and wait is agonizing. As responders, we only receive fragments of information from our call center personnel, the dispatchers, often from a patient or a passerby. Upon arrival to an emergency situation, things can and do very quickly change. For fire department personnel to be on any scene, medical, fire, or motor vehicle without law enforcement can mean the difference between life and death. We work as teams in a variety of ways to expedite a safe outcome, not only for the patient, but for the responder's safety as well. The rural areas, which make up the majority of Polk County, do not have the luxury of a local public safety police department under 24/7 coverage that the urban areas have. So it can be easy to lose sight of the importance of this to the Polk County community as a whole. Last year, Sheriff Wolf hit the streets making the rounds to public meetings. He attended our school board meeting, trying to answer questions and get the word out on the last levy. Apparently not all the folks got the message. I want to believe if people had fully understood the repercussions and gravity of what we are witnessing in the county now, the levy would have passed. What are we waiting for to get this on the ballot this year? What more information needs to be learned? This is a critical situation, people. The Sheriff's Department, first responders, and community need a quick resolution to this crisis now. It is a matter of life or death. Consider the consequences of not acting quickly. Remember the quote, "There's no one we can send." And imagine your loved one on the other end of the phone line. The county commissioners are meeting again Tuesday, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. at the Polk County Courthouse to hear final testimony and make decisions on how to move forward. I'm asking you to show them your support and urge a quick resolution for the health and safety of us all. If you're concerned about the minimal cost of the added tax, I would ask you to consider the true cost of doing nothing. I consider $90 a year for a little bargain. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Deborah Thompson?
That would be me.
That would be you.
Hello. Let's see, 3 minutes. That's not much time. I'm Deborah Thompson. I'm the executive director of the Sable House, which is Polk County's domestic and sexual violence victims services organization, serving all of Polk County. I'm here tonight to urge that this levy be put on the ballot. The reason is life and death. As Lisa just testified, it could have been that for her. I do not want Polk County to have a headline of being the next county that has another domestic violence homicide on its hands. We serve more than 800 women every year at our program. Those women desperately need the coverage of law enforcement officers. We need them more so at night, more so on the weekends, more so over holiday time. When our offices are closed and we run our hotline, we rely heavily on law enforcement to respond when we call. When we call, we need business. When folks call 911 when a woman is terrified for her life, we need that officer on the scene ASAP. We don't want to be the next county to be in the headlines for this. Women tell us every day that restraining orders are not getting served. So we convince a woman to go to the courthouse, be brave, file your restraining order. She does it, and then there's not enough staff at the sheriff's office to serve that restraining order. It could take days or longer to have that order served. That is an added measure of safety for her. So now she's in that dreaded holding pattern where she doesn't know if she lives or dies tonight, waiting for that person to be moved out of that house or for her to have the ability to safely go and get her birth certificates and her children's clothing. So please, I would urge you to put this levy on the ballot. This is important life or death stuff. I know that you know this, Sheriff Wolf. I know that you know this, Marty. We're all first responders. Aaron, your DA's office is desperately in need of more prosecutors. This is huge. When victims come forward and they decide, okay, I want to testify. I want this case to go to trial. I want to get this guy off the streets. If Aaron doesn't have enough people to prosecute, those cases get lowered on the priority scale. Victims tell us, I don't know why they're not prosecuting. Then we get to tell them, well, it's a funding issue. Imagine how a scared victim feels when I'm telling her that. Victims are not notified in a timely fashion of when hearings happen. They're not notified about the process of grand jury. They get a letter in the mail, here, show up. But do they have a resource calling them, telling them what to expect at that hearing, what they can expect to have happen, and a timeline after that, and what their legal rights are and their protections? We served a sexual assault victim who was assaulted in the county area. Before, during, and after that assault event, we responded to the Salem Hospital to be with that victim. But never once did a law enforcement officer show up. She did not have that feeling of being safe and secure because there was no law enforcement available to dispatch after that event. Imagine how that feels going forward for a victim who doesn't want to testify. She needs to have help with the evidence gathering process. That's not her responsibility. That's ours as a community to keep her safe. Not hers. So I know I'm passionate about this issue only because I've been working in this field for 16 years. And so I would hope that this levy would definitely be put on the ballot and put to the voters. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. Ted, is it Gary or?
Gady.
Okay.
Speak this way, I guess.
Sure.
Do you want my address?
Please.
711 55th Avenue. It's difficult for me to add much after Lisa's testimony. I was very moved by that. I think that's a rather poignant example of why we need, good police protection in Polk County. Personally, I feel that the ONC funds are probably gone forever, and so we should stop looking in that direction. Quite frankly, I'm glad, because I don't think that the people from other states in the United States should be subsidizing us anymore. I think that's just run its course. So I think the citizens of Polk County should step up, and as the sheriff said, we need to pay for our own services by taxing ourselves, because we need those services. I think it's a very simple argument. Quite frankly, I didn't understand this gentleman's argument that voting down the levy would improve the politics of Polk County. I don't quite get that. But you were complaining about bad politics.
Are you asking me a question?
I'm not.
Are you addressing the county? Thank you.
I'm addressing them. I was lived in southern Oregon for a while, and I watched Josephine County sort of deteriorate into a very strange place because they've continued to vote down all the levies, not just public safety levies, but the school levies, one after another. It became like a third world country down there. And the sheriff's final response was, in the newspaper, well, buy yourself a gun, because we can't protect you in the rural parts of the county. It was quite a shocking statement, I thought. So personally, I would rather have trained professionals come if I make a call than a deputized citizen with a gun, which is what he basically was saying. Well, you know, arm yourself. Well, that's a crazy way to run a society, I think. So I strongly support putting this levy out there and putting it out there until it passes over and over again, because personally, I think we need, as citizens of Polk County, to step up and fund our own public safety issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted. Eric Smith.
Well, I'd just like to say we pay about $3,000 a year. 2615 Spring Valley.
Thank you.
For our 5-acre property, and congratulations on your inspection merits. Sounds like things are in order, and I think $80,000 is nothing. I'd like to see or hear about the rights to own bear arms being revoked for people that are on a list of domestic violence. And I think that there can be other people that can assist, such as sponsors for AA, people that can be called, that can be available to go to the site, or today's technology, be there with a cell phone or something like that. Maybe there's a solution instead of a patrol world where it's project orientated, where it might be able to save some of your time. Fire department, providing housing, probably more, but maybe there's a solution there. And I'm 45 years old, and there's always going to be turbulence in the struggle of romantic pursuits, but I feel that domestic violence, if we can make it through, will decline. So let's get some money in there, get some things figured out, and try to make it through.
Thank you. Well, that's all the folks on the list, so I'm going to give you one more chance. What we'll do is we'll just have you raise your hand, and if you'd like to speak, then we'll write your name down. So, Don?
You knew it was going to happen to you.
Come on up. Name and address, please.
My name is Don Palmatino of Wyam. I lived at 6885 Spring Valley Road Northwest until my wife and I moved out there about a year and a half ago. I formerly lived here in West Salem. I was active in the Neighborhood Association for 15 years, serving for 8 years as its secretary and 3 years as its co-chairman. Yeah, put it on the ballot. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll vote for it. I'll support it. I'll tell other people to support it. I'll do that. Just as I have done it as a responsible resident of West County and West Salem. And now as a resident of the county itself. I'll do that. I don't believe you will, to be honest with you. I don't believe that the last time this was on the ballot, you really put yourself on the line and went out there and made a point of saying to the people of Polk County, and especially of West Salem, I don't believe you really pushed it the way you could have. I don't believe you told the story, and I don't, frankly, believe you will this time. Because it's just a tad too comfortable to hide behind that, no new taxes pledge. Yeah, I know about domestic violence. Why would I not? I can tell you that in my family, I don't love my wife enough that I want to beat her up and kill her. But I can also tell you, as Bob knows, that I'm one of those people who found it necessary at some point to get a concealed carry permit. And I spend considerable time at my house knowing that I will not get the kinds of protection and involvement from a sheriff's department that I should be able to expect in a timely fashion as a citizen. And now I'll tell you what I won't do. I won't tell people like Jim Roden that he's wrong, because I don't think he is. I just think he misses the point. It's been bad politics. It's a matter of fact. And I know it, and you know it, that the Polk County Commission would just as soon not have to deal with West Salem the largest city in the county, and that's been going on for years. I know for a fact, because the previous commissioners have said it, and some of you have said it, never in public, always privately, that all things considered, you just as soon not have to deal with West Salem. Or as Tom Ritchie put it before he finally left office, isn't it nice that Polk County is the only eastern Oregon county west of the Cascades? Give me a break. So I'm not exactly sure why you're here. Because as a former resident of West Salem, I kind of go along with that idea that all things considered, the county commission would just as lief not deal with this place at all if it could possibly get away with it. Because I went to all those Tuesday meetings, and I went there for 6 years. And I watched them all very carefully, and I listened to the talk when they thought that nobody was around. So, Jim's right. You've got bad politics. Frankly, I don't care if you do or not. I can't do anything about the stupidity of your politics. But as a responsible member of the resident of the county, put it on the ballot and put yourself on the line this time. Get out there and sacrifice something for it. Go to bat. Argue with people. Make your point. But don't, for God's sake, sit there and say, well, whatever you want to do is fine with us, because that won't be good. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Anyone else? We'll go over here, and then we'll come to you, Alan.
I think at the top here, I'm not going to say much.
You can come up here like everyone else.
Okay. Sure. My name is Andrew Lushenko. I live in West Salem on Sunburst Terrace. Some of you in here know me. For that, I apologize. And for those of you that don't, I'm sorry. No, I'm teasing. I worked at the sheriff's office. I spent a few days there anyhow. And I'm not here to talk about the politics. I think you guys do a Herculean job. And I think Sheriff Wolf is doing a Herculean job. And I think we need the sheriff's office for every reason he said. But I haven't heard a lot of alternatives today. And I did a lot of thinking about this and did some research, did some studying, talked to a few people, I think there are some alternatives. And this situation is not indigenous to Polk County. It's not indigenous to a lot of places in the world. There are many, many, many police departments in the world, something like 18,000 of them. Only two-thirds of those work with a department that's 100 men or more. Canada has something like 80 police departments. England has something like 40 police departments. And Japan has 50. And I think what we could look at is a reconsolidation of our police efforts, because I really think the days of the ONC timber funds are gone. And I think we've got to put politics aside, our egos aside. Many, many departments, northern New York State, very much like the Willamette Valley, they've consolidated and reorganized their departments, shared police efforts. When the sheriff was talking about cover, a lot of that has to do with mutual aid that goes on every day. I think we need to bring that mutual aid to another understanding, and I think that would mean that the commissioners, this body, would have to be willing to talk to the cities, you know, because we don't have the luxury of forest lumber anymore. We don't have the luxury of our fishing industry. We don't have the luxury of those ONC timber funds, and I think we're kidding ourselves if we do. But I think we need to win the day and start talking about how can we come together collectively and have a law enforcement center where we can help everybody. as one unit. I don't care who runs it. We should care. It's about the safety of these people in this county. It's vital. And the sheriff needs some help. And we've got to look outside the box, I think. And I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Alan? I saw your hand.
Thank you. Alan Pollack, 3161 Elliott Street, Northwest in Salem. Thank you for being here tonight to listen to our testimony. I guess what I would say, since it's providing testimony, is there's only one way to answer the question whether community wants more services, to ask them whether or not they're willing to pay for it. So I would say put it on the ballot and let folks answer. The questions I have, not necessarily for tonight, but as I'm going to make my decision-making process, in addition to the information you provided, I'd like to see, we've talked about reinstatement and gone down 30%. How would this compare really to where we were before fully staffed? And how, compare, I see some numbers, but I'm not fully understanding it, of how we compare to our peer counties. And then what happens after 5 years? Is there a strategy? It'd be great to get it, but I think what would be even worse is we have it and have to face losing it again. So helping people understand that it's more than a 5-year process, this just gets us through the first 5 years, would help me understand.
Great. With that. I can answer some of those questions right now. And I respond to Andy somewhat too. Basically, Polk County has two options. One is a local option tax or an operating levy. That's what is before you today, at least in this public hearing. The other option would be to create a law enforcement district. That probably has a little more in the idea of what Andy was talking about. The law enforcement district can be set up a number of ways, but usually it has a geographic boundary. It becomes a new form of government. It's its own entity, and you establish a permanent tax rate for that entity. What services are within that law enforcement district would be determined by the people setting up that district and then voter approval or not approval. That's the only way to get permanent taxing, at least in the state of Oregon. The option that we're looking at right now, at least, is a local option tax that has a minimum of 3 years, maximum of 5-year duration. We're asking for the maximum. At the end of that 5 years, will we need to re-up that? Most likely, I'm not going to kid you. Unless there's a solution at the federal level or a change in at the state level, we do not have adequate funding to provide these services in the future beyond that 5 years. So we would probably be back before the voters asking to re-up a new operating levy or look at a law enforcement district that encompasses, and it could encompass cities that it was designed that way. But that would take a lot of work, especially with your cities, into creating one big department. I think Las Vegas is probably the biggest example of that in the United States. They have a law enforcement district that's pretty huge. In the state of Oregon, Deschutes County has a law enforcement district. They have a two-tiered law enforcement district, which gets pretty complicated. But they have it set up both ways. But those are the only options that Polk County has in the way of funding. Unless we have a big benefactor and they just continue to give us money, which I don't think is going to occur. So we are very limited. Will the tax structure in the state of Oregon change? That'll be determined at the state level, not at the county level. So we are very limited, like we've said. We have a local option levy and a permanent tax rate assigned to a new form of government, which would be a law enforcement district. So that answers some of those questions.
Did you want me to answer the question about staffing or
what? Sure, if you're able to now.
What the levy would do? Well, yeah. If we were to pass this levy, it would not get us back to the 2008 level that we once had. There'd be several positions short in both divisions, but comparable to, like, say, Benton County, their total staffing right now is 38 patrol deputies, and this would only get me back up to, well, I have 16 employees, including all my record staff. So we would just add 12 additional employees to the sheriff's office, so it still keeps us quite a ways out of range. I have a larger county to patrol than Benton County does, as well as the jail. We still would be about 9 positions underneath Benton County. But Benton County has a very small jail and actually rents beds from other jails because they only have a 40-bed jail. So they rent beds from 2 other counties. One of the luxuries that you all have here in Polk County is that your Polk County jails never reach capacity, and the criminals don't like going there because they either have to post bail or see a judge before they get out. They're not matrixed out, there's no overcrowding issues, and so they stay in our jail.
Yeah.
My name is Lorraine Stewart, and I live in West Salem. I just have a little question, but my address is 560 Upper La Vista Court, Northwest. Anyway, I would like some comparison between what the tax rate is in this county, in Polk County, as compared with in Marion County.
I'll give you a quick example. We have a permanent rate. Every county in the state has a permanent rate. That was established back in
19-that's what we would go back to.
That's what we have. And our permanent rate is $1.71 per thousand. And that's complicated. In Marion County, theirs is $3.04, I believe. And I got a list right here. In Benton County, their permanent rate is $2.20, and they also have a 90-cent per thousand public safety levy. Yandell County is $2.57. Lincoln County is $2.84.
Now, what was ours again?
$1.71.
Well, we could, if we were to bring it up to one of these others, that would help, right?
Yeah, but we're not asking for that much.
So.
But yes.
We're a bunch
of cheapies out here. Yeah. Hello, my name is Josh Pollack. I live at 3161 Elliott Street, Northwest. And I'm an active member in our neighborhood association, and I just want to clarify some things regarding the coverage of law enforcement. West Salem, sometimes we get comfortable in the fact that the city provides us a lot of services like the compliance and the police, but in reality, the police department used to have only 2 patrols on West Side, and in fact, now it's only 1. And whenever they need that patrolman, he's over on the other side, and that's usually at night and the weekend. So you have over 19,000 people on this side that don't have any police officers, which Polk County used to be able to provide that. And that's significant. I always take a look at, and my husband says, oh, you make it a little too complicated, but it's really basic. It's Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and it's how you make your decisions. The very first bar is, you're going to provide yourself with food, shelter, and clothing, and the next one is safety. The safety of our communities is basic. This commissioner and that district attorney came to us and talked about domestic violence. I voted for them because of the domestic violence. I come from California, where they have that down to a T, where they even have kiosks where people can fill out these up, and they've got people to serve them, and they've got deputies there, and they've got they even have the they have other public but private agencies, nonprofits that help the women out there and the victims witness to help them, coach them through the court system and things like that. I'm in shock. You don't even have a police officer to respond. So I would ask that I would support you putting this on the ballot, but I would ask that you really look at 24-hour coverage, not just adding to your staff, but adding for the 24-hour coverage. Because it is The guys go out to the bar, they drink, they come home, or they had a bad day at work, and I'm sorry, but it's the family that suffers. And I'm going to, this is not my beautiful husband that I have now, but my former husband, I'm lucky to be alive here. And if it wasn't for the services of a law enforcement, a district attorney, a victim witness, I truly, my son and I would not be here because he was an evil, violent man. And I voted for you for that. And the first time I talked to Aaron, I said, well, so you think you're going to do this? He goes, if the people of Polk County would give me the funds, I would truly, truly work on this, including using technology to make things go quicker and faster and help. So I am shocked that you can't even get something to serve. So I would encourage people to understand that we get spoiled sometimes because the city of Salem provides us with so much services. We don't understand that we are not in Marion County, we are in Polk County, and a lot of our basic services, including the jail where those domestic violence guys are going to go, is in Polk County. They do not, if Salem arrests them, they're going to Polk County. They're not going to Marion. So I would encourage you that you go forward with that. And I would actually say that I will help you in your campaign to get this going, provided that you will put 24-hour coverage, not just add to your staff, but 24-hour coverage.
It would restore 24-hour coverage.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? I knew things would warm up after everyone started. There are five people on this list.
Kill what list? Russ Knoll, 1920 Oak Grove Road. I really tried to restrain myself tonight, but some ladies spoke eloquently about lack of service on serving restraining orders. Even if they were served, if you can't enforce them, they're just a piece of paper. Somebody mentioned consolidation. I hadn't heard about that before. It's kind of an intriguing idea. I believe Mr. Hansen spoke about a tax district. I know it's a long-term thing. Is there some possibility those could be coordinated? Consolidation of services throughout law enforcement in Polk County? I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, that could be explored. The sheriff has mentioned it in the past. He wasn't received real well by the cities, but that doesn't mean that it can't continue to be explored. It is a way to make it more efficient, effective, and that if it's coordinated and a lot less duplication, but it would take a lot of time to work those efforts out, is my guess.
Which exactly brings me to my next point. They mentioned first responders, and let's say one gets there and the person is losing blood. First thing you do is you staunch the bleeding. Calls for bandages. This levy, as far as I can see, hopefully is just a bandage until the proper kind of surgery can be performed. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Anyone else?
My name is Rod Buchanan, 1335 Reuben Boysen Road in Dallas. As much as anybody in Salem, West Salem, wants to believe, not all of us think that we're the bad guys. Number one, you are part of our county, a very large voting part of our county. We understand that. So I am here. We have started a pact for Polk County and in Polk County, myself and a few other people, and we are looking for the supporters of this. And even if you're not a supporter of this, we would like to talk with you and maybe have a conversation about it. But there is a tax started already, and if this goes on the ballot, we've got 3 months to get this thing going. So we're in the process already. We've already contacted legislators, senators at the Salem level. And I would just invite anyone to get involved in this, because we can talk about our county commissioners leading this thing, and that's their job. But if they don't have the Indians out there to make this happen, it's not going to happen. And yes, we can blame the county commissioners for not going that way last time, but it's our responsibility to do this. It's not, yes, it's theirs, but it's our responsibility to make this thing happen. So if anybody would like to join in the fight to make this thing go, please contact. Can I say to contact the commissioners so that they can get in touch with us? Please do that. I think it's really, really important. A lot of reasons tonight. And, you know, we're talking about 25, on a $200,000 house, we're talking about 25 cents a day, a little less than, just a little bit less than 25 cents a day. That's not very much. If you're on the highway and a car pulls out in front of you and you're in a collision at on your way home from work at 10:30 at night, to have a police officer there, that's dang cheap money. So please join us in getting this thing done.
Thank you, Mr. McCann.
Can I ask the board if there's one question? If it got on the ballot and passed this May, when would it go into effect? When would the Sheriff's Department see them? And how long would it take from the time it passed this year for that funding to start?
Funding would begin immediately.
Okay, if we wait another year.
It would be able to be levied in the November taxes, so it would show up on your property tax statement. The next one you would get. The sheriff would have to obviously go through a hiring process and that. He would obviously be authorized to hire a large number of deputies, but whether he's able to hire all of those would be difficult with his current staffing and
so
training.
So how many months from that's half a year?
It takes about 18 months to get from the time you open up the application till you get the deputy, they get through their training and kind of get out to the point where they're able to work kind of on their own. The difficulty that I will have is that because I've laid off so many deputies that were trained field training officers to train new deputies, I only have four officers that can help do the training. And
so you're saying right now it would be almost 2 years if it passes in May to get coverage. 2 years to get those guys back out there for all of our benefit. If we wait another year for May of 2016, to get it on the ballot. That's a long time.
Yeah, it doesn't take long to lay them off, but it takes a long time to get them trained.
It's a long time.
And all of the ones that we laid off have all gotten jobs elsewhere, and I doubt they would come back to a county that has gone through the fiscal issues that this county has gone through. So,
thank you.
Yeah, difficult.
How many reserves would you have that you could promote to full-time?
I only have one that is actually classified as a level one, which he's gone through a lot of the training that he would still have to go through. He still would be required to go to the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training Academy for 16 weeks, but he's already got some of the other training out of the way if he wanted to come and work for us. The other few reserves that I have, and we've lost a lot of those over the years, again, because we don't have much to offer them anymore. They're hoping to get jobs here, so they've moved on to other places. And so some of the 9 or 10 that I have left, I don't know if any of them, you know, a lot of them have much better paying jobs than what we can offer them. So our hope would be that we might find a state certified officer already. They can be trained up pretty fast, and we don't lose them for 16 weeks to the academy.
Thank you.
I came more to listen tonight than to speak, but here I am. Judy West, 678 Corsair in Independence. I think my question is more to Aaron, if I may. I have to say I'm somewhat dumbfounded that our restraining orders in Oregon have no teeth. I came from a state where restraining orders did something. What do we do in Oregon or Polk County or however it works out that we can get some teeth in a restraining order? I'm just store?
Well, you buy the restraining order, you go to jail. And so that's, you know, we enforce them all the time. I filed, at least, well, I know I filed one this week. And basically, if you're in violation of a restraining order, no contact means no contact. If that's an assistant, the sheriff, or any other law enforcement officer will arrest you and put you in jail, and we'll file a contempt proceeding on you the next day. And so we go to a hearing, and if we prove that there's contact, and contact means no contact, no visual, no verbal, no internet, nothing. And you go to jail. And so in saying teeth, the point of the restraining order is to get that person away from that person and then sanction them for that. So we do that all the time. So I guess I'm asking what kind of teeth you're comparing it to. We can put them in jail for months at a time. So we seek to do that. The courts have the authority to do that.
It might have been my misunderstanding, but I thought I read in the papers not too long ago that a restraining order had been served. The guy came and shot her, and they just couldn't do anything about it because there's no teeth in restraining orders. Maybe I misunderstood, but that was my perception.
I think in Polk County we take them very seriously. So I'm not sure about the situation you're thinking of, but as far as I am concerned, we take those very seriously. So if we find out that it's happened, the law enforcement finds out it's happened, and they verify the contact. In fact, I've gotten many calls in the middle of the night, someone saying, I've got this situation, what's your opinion of it? And we say, go arrest them, and we file on it the next day, because we take those extremely seriously, and so do our courts.
Thank you, that makes me feel better.
Okay. Mr. Burns.
Sure.
Ms. West, one of the things, though, that's concerning to me is the fact that during those hours that we're not on, if, in fact, somebody does violate a restraining order, they call in, they get told there's nobody to respond. Our deputy doesn't come on till noon the next day. Then he's got to start trying to find this person. And then it takes investigation and plus with the other calls that we have. So restraining orders in this county are handled very aggressively, but you got to have the officer to be able to arrest them first for violating that restraining order. And so the victim continues to be a victim until this person is taken into custody.
Any more questions?
Yes.
Sure. My name is Kathy Segla. I'm John's wife, but I'm not going to lambaste you. I'm an attorney for the Department of Justice. I've been working in criminal law appeals and inmate law for 25 years now. So even though I don't have the direct hands-on experience that the sheriff has and that Aaron has, I've seen a lot of cases. And it's not just the domestic violence cases. It's all crime. And I think when I moved to West Salem from Salem proper many years ago, 20 years ago, longer than that, I was under the impression that I was still in Salem and didn't really comprehend that I'm in Polk County. It's not the same thing as Marion County. And I have a feeling that probably many people in West Salem have that same impression, that they don't understand that that river that runs through town actually has a meaning. There's Marion County, there's Polk County. A couple of things, and it's been touched on already, that all of these law enforcement functions fit together. If you don't have enough money for the sheriff, you can't serve the restraining orders. If you don't get the restraining order served, you can't prosecute him for violating the restraining order. If he goes out and he shoots the woman, you can't prosecute him unless you can go out there, get your hands on him, arrest him, haul him in, hold him in your jail, which you can't always do everywhere, and then prosecute him. If Aaron doesn't have the money to hire enough prosecutors, that's not going to get done. So all of these things fit together in a way that all of them have to be funded. That's why we need to have this on the ballot. This is why it needs to pass. Lost my train of thought. Way back years and years ago, I clerked as a law student for Judge Lukanen out here in Polk County, so it was a long time ago. But I remember in those days, when you talk about the jail has room, that means something. People who don't deal with this all the time don't really get that. But I remember being at court, working for the judge. Before we'd go into the courtroom to do a sentencing, he would have to be asking the community corrections guys, is there a bed in the jail? What sentence can I give this guy that's going to make any sense, that's going to have any teeth? Because if I don't have a bed in the jail, it doesn't do me any good to sentence him to jail. And so it's the concrete sorts of practical day-to-day nuts and bolts that I think not everybody understands. And that's the message that needs to go with this measure if it goes on the ballot. People have to get that it actually does affect them. If a crime is committed against you in West Salem, it's going to be prosecuted in Polk County by Aaron Feldman. And that makes a difference. But we have to, in West Salem, understand that we're part of the whole county, and vice versa. And just one last thought. People talk about taxes, they worry about taxes. Oh, don't want to pay too many taxes. But just remember, crime is the cruelest tax of all. If you're dead, you're not going to be paying your taxes, and it won't matter to you. You don't want to be dead. Thank you.
Thank you. Now you see why I don't want to be dead.
I don't think you'd have a chance, Don.
I got $5 on
it. No, I do too.
When's the vote?
When the board's last public hearing is tomorrow. There's a 9:00 public hearing at the regular scheduled board meeting. At that time, it will be rested with the Board of Commissioners to make a decision. They can make a decision as early at the earliest tomorrow, or as late as probably the end of February, if they want to get it on the May 2015 ballot. Obviously, if they decide to not go on the May 2015 ballot, they have a lot longer time to make a decision toward a operating event. But they have about a 1 month period of time to make a decision. My guess is they'll make it before the end of that month, but I don't think it's been determined yet by the board.
Any other questions?
I guess I have to say it then. Commissioners, please do that soon. Because we only have 2 months as a community county to put together a campaign to make this thing work. Do it soon, one way or the other.
Aaron, would you like to say anything?
I just want to some things quickly, because really good things have been said tonight. But I do want to say, I'm your neighbor. I live here in West Salem. My wife and I, we live up in the streets of the off of Viola, the obscure and interesting lesser-known presidents. We've lived here about 12 years. Before that, I grew up over in South Salem, went to South High. So I recognize a lot of you, Neighborhood Association, other places. Haven't made enough lately, Josh, but I remember that conversation that we had. And I appreciate, Mr. Roten, your family name has been in this town a long time.
And it's a different spelling.
Well, the name was familiar with that name. But you still raise a lot of issues. I want to tell you what I've done. My office serves West Salem, we serve Monmouth, we serve Independence, we serve Dallas. This levy will help us prosecute the entire county. Day after lunch, I helped a West Salem detective write a search warrant for a business that was robbed here in West Salem. Last week, about midnight, I did a search warrant with the Salem detective for a residential burglary that happened in West Salem. Tomorrow's grand jury, we're going to be busy all day. I know at least one other Salem police officer will be in our office on time, ready to do their job to indict. And mine's a drug case. But I know there's going to be others, people who committed crime here in West Salem. It's what we do and what we will do. The coverage in West Salem, it's sparse. But they're very effective officers. There's a passage of time where Officer Moffitt bagged about 2 to 3 on one weekend. It was about 3 separate stolen cars, all of them Honda Accords. It's true what they say about Honda Accords. So we have good police officers. We do need more patrols, but I need more people to prosecute them. We have the smallest criminal prosecutor's office for a county of this size in the state. I have 3 criminal prosecutors plus myself. even though we got cut one position when I came into office, we're down one, our number of cases per prosecutor has stayed about even, because I take on a full caseload myself just to kind of keep up and keep things even. We haven't cut the types of crimes we prosecute. We're just basically doing triage on what we can do in terms of the things in between. I really was really glad to hear what Deb said about what she's doing with the victims of domestic violence. What I have tried to do is prioritize what we do in terms of focusing on domestic violence, sex abuse crimes, drug crimes, and DUI. But one of the things about DV is victims get victimized a couple times. When a crime happens, potentially when they enter the system. Where we are really struggling is doing the very things that Josh talked about, and I think that Deb could talk about it too. It's in time to the victim, notifying them, being with them, all those things we struggle to do. This isn't Marion County. We don't have an elaborate victim support system. I've got two victims advocates who work all day. I need more to bring this up to a basic level of service for this county. We don't have it. We need to get there so that we can prevent crime and hold people accountable. That is what I am asking for. If we can't do it, if the citizens of this county say it just isn't what we can do right now, I respect that. But it's a very critical decision we're making right now in terms of the future of what we can do. This county isn't cheapy. I can't remember the phrase. I go ahead, but we are very efficient. We are practical, but we are efficient. I'll just give you an example of that. I started work here about 12 years ago. We are still using files I recognize my handwriting on from 12 years ago in my office. We just flip them over and use them again. That's just typical of what we do in this county, to be practical and efficient with your dollars. But we need to be smart about investing and thinking about how we use our money and planning ahead. And that's what I'm asking for in terms of my office. I need some additional hands to get the job done. Thank you for being here. Thank you for participating.
Thank you.
Since I got mentioned a couple of times, I think I hit you a little about it. I want you to understand, I don't oppose public safety. What I do oppose is that this commission, this sheriff, and this district attorney get their efficiencies out of West Salem. And until their politics change and they include West Salem, there's not a chance in hell that I can see that they can get enough votes to do what needs to be done. This should have been started long before this. You can't get inclusion of all the people here that have something built up against the county commission. You can't get the people that want to support Polk County but don't feel like they're a part of it because of the words of people even on this present commission. And I don't see how you're going to get past that. And I don't believe it's going to pass. I don't think you should put it up now because I don't think it'll pass. My personal view.
Bob, you got any sure thing?
Nope. You good?
Jennifer?
Craig?
I think I'll just sit tight.
I'm good. Okay.
Bart?
Yeah, I'd just like to mention that there is some information on the table that I provided in regards to adults that we supervise as well as juveniles. And note that in West Salem alone, there are 146 adult offenders that have a probation officer, so.
But once again, I'd just like to thank everyone for being here. Once again, tomorrow at 9:00 at our commission meeting, we will have the final public hearing. And thank you very much for being here. We are officially adjourned. Thank you.